Whoa. 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 Oh, jeez. Whoa. Oh, my God. It's behind me. Whoa. Oh, hi. Oh, hello. Hey, everybody. Sorry, I didn't know y'all were already coming in for our meeting of the EdTech Club. Sorry about that. I got distracted. We got this new VR headset, and I'm just enjoying the virtual reality world. How are you guys doing today? Good? Sorry for being distracted. It was just, it's so interesting. You always hear about virtual reality, and sometimes you hear about this augmented reality, like Pokemon Go type games, and I don't know. I always thought it was something far off, you know, something we didn't have yet, but it really is here, and it really is happening in education. But it can be hard to know which virtual and augmented reality tools can be really useful. First, you have to understand what your students need, what your and their learning goals are, and then you have to figure out what tools are out there that can help you meet them. Of course, with any challenge, there are probably people who have done it before, useful guides, and our guest speaker in this week's meeting of the EdTech Club is Jamie Donnelly. She is a world-renowned EdTech expert and speaker, and she has a particular expertise in AR, VR, and MR. And if you're wondering what MR is, well, so is I. You'll find out in our conversation. Just keep listening. And that conversation is all about the ways we can use augmented and virtual reality to reach students. And we know that students learn differently. Different students have different needs. And AR and VR and MR can have profound impacts, especially when it comes to accessibility. That is, allowing students who might not otherwise get to do certain activities because of a physical disability, for example, the opportunity to do these things. So it's a great big world of virtual reality and augmented reality and mixed reality, and we are going to get into it with one of the best experts there is, recorded live at TCEA Convention and Exposition 2020. We're going to give you our conversation with Jamie Donnelly. We are going to delve into all of that and so much more in this week's meeting of the club, and it all starts right now. Welcome back to the EdTech Club. Thank you all for attending this meeting. As always, I am Andrew Rush, and as always, I will not delay any further. There's no other business. Let's jump right in to our great conversation with the great Jamie Donnelly. You started as a math teacher, became an instructional technologist, but since then, your blog, ARVRNEDU, has been named a must-read blog. You've been named a top EdTech influencer and a top VR influencer. So I'm thinking we might talk a little bit about augmented and virtual reality.
Okay.
So I guess the place to start is, when I think VR, the idea's been around for a very long time, right? I think of that Nintendo Power Glove from like back in the 90s. And I noticed on your blog too, you talked about stereoscopes, which are the Victorian era 3D images that you can kind of, you know, do virtual reality with.
Yeah.
Now it's grown into something else, but we know it exists. I'm not sure everybody knows what the resources out there are. How are people using augmented and virtual reality? And maybe what's the difference between the two?
Yeah. Let me know if you guys can hear me okay. Okay. I think with, you know, AR, VR, and MR is sometimes misunderstood exactly the difference between them all. And so a lot of people think, okay, I get an idea about, you know, augmented reality. I used to do Erasma, I used to do HP Reveal, done a little bit of Pokemon Go, I get it. You know, with AR, it could be scannable technology, it could be something kind of floating on our screen. We still see our real world, we still see everything around us, but we also see a layer of something digital. It could be something three-dimensional, it could be something flat. But essentially, it's kind of giving you this illusion that something exists in your space. Whereas virtual reality is something that you see all around you, like you were talking about in that VR space, being able to see up, down, left, right, behind you. Everywhere you look, it's this digital experience. You're no longer looking at your real world. Although there's a little bit of AR-VR kind of combo happening at times, but essentially you're looking at everything around you in that VR space. And then mixed reality is taking that augmented reality to the much deeper level, much more intense on the technology. They all think, oh, it's a mix between AR and VR. I thought that too, so no, it's not. It actually is augmented reality, but it's really taking that deeper technology, more intensive. It's allowing people to more immersed in their experience. So in that augmented reality, what used to float there for us is now stuck and tied to the floor because it identifies the floor. And maybe if the shark is swimming in our space, it knows that there's a wall there and it can't pass that wall. And when it's really bright in here, it lightens up with it to show as if it's you're seeing even reflections of light passing through things. I mean, it's pretty intensive. Some of the later technologies that have been released in mixed reality, of course, is a lot more interactive and engaging. We're beginning to see more of the artificial intelligence tied in. So all of those pieces of collaboration in AR now and being able to really see it interwoven into our space, much more realistic than something just floating there. As far as AR, VR, and MR, the ways that we're really using this in the classroom is pretty surface right now. That's the problem, is that people are just finally getting to the place where they get what it is. Some of them are now beginning to use it. And those that have really taken the step early on are getting their kids creating it. And what I'm really emphasizing, especially this year, is the focus on customization for our students. So I think it's going to be really important for us to look at our individual students, what their needs are, how to support them in their learning gaps, how to really help them flourish and what their passions are. So in all of those pieces, that's going to be important for them to have a grip on their kids before they jump in. So how many of you guys have asked, all right, what's that one tool I need to download? That's like the worst question. Because what do you need to accomplish? What are your goals? What are your standards? And oftentimes that's the problem, is that we're starting with, I want to push AR-VR. Well, that's the wrong approach. Sometimes it's not AR-VR that you need to use. Sometimes it is. So it's really identifying where your kids are, what their needs are, and then finding the right tools to help them reach their goals.
Mm-hmm. So in your experience, what are you seeing as the kinds of jobs that AR-VR, MR could be the tool?
There's a big gap. So a lot of developer needs right now. So as students are learning coding skills, as they're getting familiar even with the concept of AR and VR, that passion to see that kind of technology should drive the idea that they need to be the content creators. And in light of that, I think even right now, these companies are I get messages from companies on LinkedIn all the time. Do you know some developers that run this and can do this? And I'm like, I have no idea what you're talking about right now. I share content. I am not a developer by no means, and I don't even know what you want people to do. Thankfully, I do connect with developers because I'm the one trying to help be a bridge for the teachers. Like, hey, this is what we need. Where can we get this? So that conversation that we're all having, I'm hopefully, and as others are, we're going back to the developers saying, we need this. Our classrooms need this, you know? Cut this off because that's not safe for our kids. Improve this because this is where they need to flourish. So really having that discussion, but I will tell you that there is a major gap between the big bang and what we're seeing in immersive technology. Tons of money going into it, very little experts on knowing how to develop it. So companies are scrambling to try to fit those needs. And these people are running like crazy. Like they're overworking their developers because there's just not enough trained people.
So industry is working to catch up with the technology itself,
right.
Basically.
Right.
Have there been some success stories in education in terms of particular apps or resources or what have you, or tools, or even just ways of using AR and VR that actually really do connect with where the technology is now and what students need to learn?
Absolutely. It really varies campus to campus. I have conversations with people that really have a great grip on what they're trying to accomplish. Most of the time it starts with conversations and, you know, there's that really passionate teacher that's ready to jump in. They're like, I'm ready to go. Let's do this. So that's a problem because they may not have everybody on board. the most successful times of seeing any of this technology or any technology, you know, really being utilized is when everybody's on board. That collaboration's there with your technology department. They're not shutting you down and blocking all these apps. They're not keeping you or preventing you from having the resources or the bandwidth to be able to run this. Your curriculum department that's actually wanting you to engage and bring that into your content. That's sometimes a problem. Teachers are excited about it. They try to bring it back and their curriculum's like, hey, go back to that worksheet, you know? So really having the collaboration of like, why do we want this? Your admin being on board, the funding being there, right? Like all of those pieces. I always say start with what you already have. Mm. Don't go out and buy a bunch of stuff. Keep your budgets for something else. Identify really why you want to buy those things. Don't buy it just because it's the AR, VR stuff. Oftentimes those places that are selling you that because it's the AR, VR stuff is overcharging you by like 4 or 5 times than what you could be paying if you really knew what you were looking for. So I think that sometimes it just takes that collaboration, identifying those goals. And when people have done that, I've seen them do incredible. I mean, Michael Drezik, I'm gonna give him a shout out. He's out in New York, Buffalo, New York. I've been working with their district for a little while. And I went out to go train his teachers. And when I did, we were talking about CoSpaces. It had just got released with the Merge Cube add-on. But they just took this idea that the teacher said, I want the periodic table to function as it should. We shouldn't see a periodic table on a flat sheet of paper. I really want to see this come to life. So what they did is they took CoSpaces, which is really a unique thing what they did. They took this idea of the periodic table and every single element up there, they the students had to go into each window and they had to identify each element. So you're assigned to that element, you're assigned to another, and they're assigned to something else. Sorry, I keep tapping that. But you know, when they're doing all of that, then when you go into the periodic table, each element that you go into, you're actually seeing a product that was created by the students. So instead of it being a teacher-driven, company-driven, vendor-driven product, this is a classroom collaboration on the periodic table. It was so powerful, and they were able to bring that in to three-dimensional objects inside of their classroom and identify their space in a virtual reality space. It was available on Chromebooks. It was available on iPads. It was available on tablets and mobile devices. So to be able to capture that and see what they were able to build because they had a great vision on how to use it, and the students just love it. I mean, it's hard to get them outside of it when they know what they can create. It's really hard. That passion's there, and they eat it up.
Makes it harder to drag them back to worksheets.
Yeah, no.
There are some successes like that. It seems to me that one of the big advantages in a number of disciplines, you know, or a number of subjects, you know, it could be math, it could be science, as you say, it could be history. It will captivate a student in a way that perhaps reading about something or being told directly about something won't do. Mm-hmm. Do you find that that's one of the stronger elements of this technology, is that it can physically put students in a space and kind of keep them away from distractions?
Yeah, I'm going to share with you guys a story that I have not shared before. It's really powerful, and I have it in my second book, so just keep it a secret between us and the podcast, okay? During Thanksgiving this year, I met up with family, and an extended family met a boy named Trace. And Trace has a condition where he is unable to use his arms. He was born with his arms bent, and the functionality of his arms, and even through multiple surgeries as a teenager now, an eighth grader, he actually uses his feet to function. And so he's in a wheelchair, and he basically is really determined to do what he wants to do. Well, you know, when I get together with everybody and all the kids, what are they all looking for? They all want to do virtual reality. So I bring out all the headsets and everybody's hopping on. And typically right now, the one tool that I'm sharing more often than not is the Oculus Quest that was released in April. Being because you actually get to physically get up, you're interacting, you're engaged, and the interactions that you have, as opposed to what came out initially, the Oculus Go, is really, it's standalone. You sit there, but you're just sitting there. You're pretty much just engaged kind of in your space, whereas Oculus Quest gets you up and active. So there's a lot more functionality. I could do dissection now that I couldn't do when I'm just sitting there with a single remote. So there's really some cool stuff that people are able to do. So when I brought out the VR, I immediately noticed in Trace's case that I couldn't put him in a Quest. So going back to that customization, knowing your kids, knowing what their needs are, I knew that the Oculus Go, which is typically not the technology I'm recommending to schools, because I know that the Quest, now that it's out, what it's capable of doing. So I said, hey, why don't you, do you want to try some VR? And he said, yeah. And I was like, great. So I put a headset on him, an Oculus Go, and I said, which hand do I have used? Because I didn't know exactly what his capabilities were. And he goes, put it on my foot. I said, okay. So I put it next to his foot, and he was able to grab it with both of his feet. And with one foot, he was like literally using his toe to use this one single remote. And I was sitting there, my eyes, I'm like ready to cry. I'm like, this is beautiful. You know, I'm just so like amazed at this kid that he was so determined to do what he wanted to do. And he sat on there for a good hour. I mean, I was like, that's probably just too long to be in VR, but I really didn't want to take it away. He was loving it so much, and I had him go to the moon. He went up and went in the space shuttle, went up to the moon, got to go and explore on the moon, and he did a couple other apps. At one point, he was swinging it like this with his foot and playing, and I'm like, what are you doing? I'm playing tennis. I mean, it's just amazing, right? So I finally go, can I interview you? Like, this is pretty remarkable. And he said, sure. So I said, okay. So we sat down, and I'm talking to him. And I, of course, asked his mom, is it okay if I talk to him? And of course. And he shared with me that he really has excelled in areas that people have never really given him the opportunity to do. But because he wanted to shoot a bow and arrow, he figured out how to go and do a bow and arrow. So that was something he was determined to do, and he used his feet to do it. So we were kind of discussing that, and then I started asking him about the VR experience. And what do you think? And he's like, that was crazy. And of course, he's an eighth grader. He has to act cool. It was cool, you know. So I was like, okay, great. So I said, what was hard about it? He goes, it was hard to kind of adjust the straps for me, like having it really sitting on my face the right place. So I said, oh, you know, that's interesting. I would have never thought that. Okay, that makes sense. And I said, well, what have you found in this that you really liked? What was your favorite app? And he actually shared the app that I never recommend to people for VR, and that's going on roller coasters. Because you do it once, and you never do it again. You get super sick, that's it, you don't ever need to do the roller coaster again. And he said the roller coaster, and I was like, really? You went to the moon, right? Like, yeah, okay, roller coasters. And so I was like, well, you know, tell me, why did you enjoy going on a roller coaster? And he said, I've never been able to go on a roller coaster before. And it just like still kind of chokes me up to talk about it, because we literally gave that kid feet and legs to walk around and to go and do things that he was never capable of doing before. And I think to some extent it really does trick your brain. Tricks your brain into thinking about, this is where I'm at, this is what I'm experiencing. And when you kind of come out of it for a second, you know, I don't know if you guys have ever been in a VR headset before, but for a few seconds, it kind of takes your brain a second to adjust back to reality. Like, oh, I'm not on the moon anymore, you know? So to be able to have him have that experience, his mom was so amazed at how much he loved that. She ended up buying it for him for Christmas, and he's loving it. But, you know, that kid could be a developer. That kid could be making the experiences for all of our students, you know, whatever accessibility issues people have, that's the kind of kid that's going to solve that problem. But it was just, to me, to be able to witness that on a firsthand basis, see how much that can improve somebody's life and give him the opportunity to do things he really can't physically do safely, I think is just a powerful thing.
Mm. And so beyond just allowing students to go to physical spaces they can't go to, you could tell your students, go to the moon. Mm-hmm. Didn't you check out the moon? Go check out the moon, which is pretty cool. Or go to the British Museum.
Yeah.
But there's also a potential for increased accessibility generally there.
Absolutely.
What did we feel like has been the effect of AR, VR, MR in education thus far? What are we seeing in terms of results of how it can expand or engage teaching and learning?
There's very little, I'll be honest with you. Not only is there very little, there's very little curriculum out there. You know, if you ever hear content is king, that's true. Teachers are going to really look at this and say, that's a great concept. How do I bring that into my classroom? That was really why I wrote the book. It was backing up to the fact that I would go to conference after conference sharing this, year after year at TCA sharing this, and people would be like super excited. They'd come back the next year super excited. I was like, well, what did you do this past year? They're like, I didn't even know where to start. Yeah. You know, so it really shows that they need to have that guide, right? In addition to that, the you know, many tools are starting to really think about how do I evaluate their performance. And I think that really goes back to this is not all-encompassing everything. This is a piece of your classroom. This is a piece of your lesson. And how you integrate that, there's going to be many pieces to it. But evaluating its effectiveness, I think, is something that we don't have a huge amount of data on just because it's still very new. Yeah. So what you're going to find is enthusiasm from the students to learn. So that's quite obvious. But then also that they're performing and doing things without that expectation listed. So if I gave you a piece of paper and asked you to complete this assignment, are you going to do more than what that assignment says to do? But when I give you co-spaces and I ask you to do this project and demonstrate what you know, these kids are going home, they're working on it all weekend long, they're working on it and working on it as much as they possibly can. And so when they come and demonstrate what they know, they have went well beyond what that assignment was expecting because they love doing it. So I think that it really is resonating with our students because this is their future. This is how they want to learn. My daughter has dyslexia. So there's quite a few instances for me that I've seen for her have really made a connection to learning. I've heard, and this is something that is still being, you know, really researched, is that, you know, those that have dyslexia will look at text and they're not looking at it as flat like we do. They're looking at it as three-dimensional. So when I look at the letter D and I can walk around the letter D that's in the middle of my room, I'm going to see it from different angles, which is the struggle, because they're essentially seeing something at such a greater scale than us that are looking at it as such a flat, right? Flat, this is all I see. I've memorized verbatim what that is. They're really looking at it and grasping it at a different level. So when my daughter does virtual reality and augmented reality, she makes connections that she quite literally cannot do. Spelling words, I mean, I've been able to see her do things that I could not get her to do in all the traditional ways. So I think it really is identifying our individual learners. It's looking at how they want and need to learn. And it doesn't fit everybody. And I don't say put on a headset on every kid. I think that's the wrong strategy. You really need to look at your students and identify. Some kids hold up a device, right? And they don't need to have a headset on. Most of the time I would say that's the best route to go than putting on a headset. Some kids need to have, you know, something in their hands where they're physically touching it. I was, this weekend I spent time looking at Mel Science. So they're based out of Russia. And I met up with them when I was in Moscow speaking in October. And they sent me out their stuff and I'm like, this is really cool. So finally got around to using it. And used it with my nephews and my niece and my kids. And so we're all going and doing these science experiments. We're building hydraulics. We're doing like light and changing all the white light into the multicolor light. It's a book like comics. And at the very end, it says, hey, go into the augmented reality app that works with us. And it literally walks you through step by step in AR, everything that you just covered. I mean, we were blown away. The hands-on, right, the physical maker concept, to the connection to what I'm reading, to what is my prior knowledge to this, to the graphics that I'm going to be able to connect with, to even looking at the augmented reality and walking around this hydraulic system and seeing how it's functioning, but I'm also holding it in my hand. Like, all those pieces are important.
Right.
Shouldn't be in like silo, right, just doing it on its own, but really integrated as the whole picture for the classroom.
And we often talk about how different learners learn differently.
Mm-hmm.
This gives you four or five different ways to pick up on this particular lesson. That's very cool.
Yeah.
So if we're looking, we're excited about using it, and our students are excited about using it, obviously we need to assess our needs, we need to develop goals, we need to figure out what the infrastructure available is, mm-hmm. and make sure the people we work with are on mm-hmm. board with this, and then we need to implement it. So since we've got a few more minutes left, let's think about, if I want to implement this, what are your recommendations? What should I be looking for? What tools should I be using?
You know, one of the things that I'm working on is kind of like diagnostic, like where do I start? Because that I can never answer that question because every classroom, every student is going to be different. Every teacher might have different plans on how they're going to use it. A lot of people start off with, you know, Google Expeditions, or they're starting off with the Merge Cube or CoSpaces. So where they're starting is not bad, but oftentimes they're starting without a plan of what they want to accomplish in that. So I think, again, going back to, like you said, once I know my goal, I can make a lot of recommendations for you. Anything that I've ever looked up, I have yet to find a time where I cannot find some sort of immersive technology connected to a concept. I get, you know, direct messages all the time, emails all the time. People like, hey, this is what we're trying to accomplish. What would you recommend? And, you know, for me, I'm just a researcher. I just go and find and, you know, here, guys, check this out. So while I'm doing that, I'm collecting all of these resources. And sometimes people ask me for stuff that I don't even know if anything like that exists. But I go out and research what I'm looking for, and it never fails. There are tools out there being used right now, being created right now, out there available, maybe not as big as Google Expeditions. They don't get as much, you know, marketing, but they certainly are amazing. So I think once they identify what they're looking for, be very strategic. They have the knowledge now about what is AR, what is VR, what is MR. So as they're looking for those tools, they're really going to precisely be able to research which ones fit their needs.
Do you have any favorites? Do you have things that really, really excite you? Or just really fun to use?
Yeah. So on Thursday, we're doing an immersive experience. And that is going to be from 9 to 11 a.m. I would love for you to come down if you're not doing something, because it is going to be a hands-on. Because me sharing a bunch of stuff up on a session and you watching a million tools, that just never amounts to you actually using those tools in the classroom. Maybe you grab one, maybe you grab two. But when you go in and do it yourself, so that's a goal. It's like that playground mentality, right? We'll have different people at different stations. There's going to be 8 of them. And I've brought out some of the stuff that hasn't been released yet. It's still in development, so really beta testing some of the stuff. I've brought out some of the stuff that's been around. Building on the Merge Cube is one of the stations. Even some of the vendors that are going to be here. Disrupted Books is going to be sharing, and we also have, I'll have my Mel Science kits that I brought around with me. I'll be sharing in my next session today. But also some of the stuff like, looking at how does coding interact with this. Minecraft Earth, there is one app that I'm really excited about, and that's called Dramatic AR. And you guys are the first to hear about this because it wasn't available until just now again. The developer took it off because she was doing it just to win, like these developers sometimes win money for making these certain apps. And so she created this, and I don't think she realized how much this can impact the classroom.
Didn't know there was an audience for it.
That's right. She was looking at it from a developer standpoint as opposed to academic benefit. But she created an app where you can actually write sentences. And then on this grid sheet, basically this image here, it's a trigger image, you hold the app over your picture. It scans it, uses artificial intelligence with Google Azure or Microsoft Azure. And then it has it captures that. And then it actually layers down 3D objects connected to what you wrote, and it reads it out loud to you. So it takes your handwriting, converts it to 3D objects, and it actually reads it out loud. And she's now working on it identifying misspelled words, and when things don't look right, when things sentence structure. So she's going to be honing in on that on her development side next. But let me tell you, like, that is so needed for our kids to make connections to what they're writing. And when they actually see that visualized and they're hearing what they just wrote, like, that's really powerful. And if it can't read your writing, that's also powerful, right? So, you know, those are some of those things we get our kids to really focus in. So I'm really excited about that one, because as simple as that is, it could be really something that benefits our students in the way that they write and understand in learning. So those are just examples. Apps change. But those are examples of some of the things that are going to be impacting our students in the future.
Excellent. And as you say, apps change. The technology will evolve. We have to keep up with it. So before we wrap it up, how will folks be able to keep up with you and what you do after convention if they always want to be making sure and keeping an eye on how it develops.
Yeah, so I keep my website pretty much up to date at arvrinedu.com. I have blogs going out pretty often about the content that's being released, things that are coming out. I do have a special event happening in March called 31 Days of ARVR and EDU. And every single day, I started this last year in March, and then I was like, why did I do a month with 31 days? But, you know, it makes sense now, I guess. But 31 days, every day I release a blog on a different item, a different resource. And it just gives you a full picture of how to get started, where to put this into use, some video content. And it just gets them ready and excited to begin using it. And some apply to some teachers and some apply to others. But it has so many different resources and tools that they can pull from and begin using.
Outstanding. Well, Jamie Donnelly, thank you so much for joining us.
Yes, thank you. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Well, folks, we are out of time for this episode, but we will be meeting again next week. So don't forget to subscribe in your favorite podcast player. That way you'll be able to attend every meeting of the EdTech Club. And don't forget, we have got more episodes recorded live at the 2020 TCEA Convention and Exposition that you're gonna want to hear. So the time to subscribe and spread the word is now. And speaking of spreading the word, if you want to, don't forget to tag TCEA on whatever social media you're using. We are out there on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and Pinterest, all the stuff you love using. So go ahead and look for TCEA out there. And of course, your homework, well, it's just the normal reading. Jump down into the show notes at tcea.org/edtechclub. Or in your podcast player, and check out the links there to Jamie's website, ARVRNEDU, plus other links to things she discussed. And if you want some extra credit, leave us a message with your favorite uses of ARVR, MR, or any other R at podcast@tcea.org, and we might shout you out in a future episode. But that's it for new business and old business, so I will say our meeting is over until next week when we return with another episode of the EdTech Club. Until then, I'm Andrew Rausch. Thanks for being a part of the club. EdTech Club is a production of TCEA. To learn more and to join, go to tcea.org.